Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. What happens when the leader of a superpower sits down to talk with the leader of a super religion? Should we be concerned? Should we ignore it? What exactly should we do? Let's talk with Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, about the recent face-to-face between a pope and a president. Lincoln, what do we need to know?
Well, we need to not so much know. We probably will never know exactly what they say behind closed doors, as the phrase goes.
Yes.
But it's enough to know, and a realization we need to have, that the Pope of Rome, since a millennium ago for that matter, but certainly since Mussolini gave back the papal property, 100 acres I think it is, and they became a state, the Vatican has been occupied very diligently in affairs of state with ambassadors, and receiving heads of state. Mm-hmm. And they do have an opportunity to talk about not just religion, but give their opinion, their advice, their direction, manipulate even on occasion. If you read some of the books, particularly at the time of World War II, they manipulate events of a very secular nature.
And should we be concerned about it? Why? What you're saying bothers me, but why is it bothering me? You tell me.
Well, there's two levels to everything I talk about. You know, I edit Liberty Magazine, which is a religious liberty journal.
Yeah.
And on one level, we're protecting religious freedom, the right of everybody or anybody to believe whatever they want or not believe anything. So on that level, you might find it hard in some of these things like papal visits to directly say this is against religious liberty, even if you disagree with it. But I think with Rome, and I hope I'm not just having a Protestant's bias, which there should be, against Rome, but just looked at it structurally and with some view to history. When you're talking about religious liberty, the best freedom has been proven in the United States and in other countries with less similar systems. But whenever there's a dynamic that mimics the United States of a separation of church and state, in other words, the church tending to its business, which is running the church and reaching out to the community and the society and the state, governing civilly but not interfering in religious matters. Whenever that's the dynamic, religion is safe, protected, and dynamic. Even more importantly than protected, it flourishes. But when you have church and state hand in glove, things get out of control very quickly. And so it seems to me, just from a point of history, not to mention church history and theology and prophecy and so on, just from a matter of history and the models of governance, that it's playing with fire to have a leader of a religion with members scattered all over the world receiving heads of state and discussing matters of state, because the church has an interest, but you don't know to what degree those interests conflict with the interests of other churches, of civil liberties of those that don't belong to the organization. It just gets complicated very, very quickly. And one thing that's crossed my mind, again, we don't know. We're not privy to these discussions. Certainly there's a little terse statement about what they discuss, but whether it's with the Pope or with Putin or whoever, they don't tell you the whole story.
Right.
You know, a very productive discussion was had. You know, that could mean they punched each other behind the scenes.
There's an image I'm going to carry with me all day, Obama and the Pope sparring.
Well, no, I don't think those two. The timing of this visit of Obama is most interesting. Remember, he was on his way again, I think, to meet with the, what is it, the G7 now. The numbers keep dropping.
Yes, yes.
And the crisis at hand is the Crimea. So it's quite unlikely that the Pope omitted to put his little piece in on that. Particularly when you know a little bit of the last time around on Crimea, just over a century ago, there was a major war between France, England, Russia, and Turkey, and it was all about religion.
Yes, it
was all about the Crimea.
Yeah.
And I saw a news picture the other day as the Russians occupied Crimea, the Crimean Peninsula. There was a picture of the Russian soldiers, and standing next to them, an Eastern Orthodox metropolitan. So the church is very much involved there. They're the arch rival of the Catholic Church, in some ways more than Protestantism. Protestantism or Protestants, the Catholic Church counts as renegades.
Yes.
But the Eastern Orthodox Church, they count as rivals. And so there has been a lot in recent centuries of the Catholic Church manipulating political forces to neutralize, or even with the invasion of Russia, to do away, and before the invasion of Russia, the crusade that they sent against Constantinople, to do away with their opposition. Now, you know, that you can say those things have little to do with my religious freedom here, but it would have everything to do with the religious freedom of an Eastern Orthodox person living in the Crimea or in the larger area there. It's an interesting talk, and I haven't read it yet, but I noted that Pope Francis, as his right, he did nothing that's illegal. You know, I must say that.
Yeah.
But he handed to his distinguished visitor, the President of the United States, he handed to him his latest encyclical. And I forget the title, but it was on some Christian virtue. Probably is more pastoral than anything. But the tradition is very high of the recent popes giving very important documents to their state visitors that give their directions on how to act in certain circumstances. For example, the first time Obama visited, in that case, Pope Benedict, it was immediately after the economic collapse. And as he visited the Pope on his way to visiting with the G8 to solve the problem or to address it, the Pope gave him a document called Caritas et Veritatis, Charity and Truth. And it's a wonderful document. I actually don't disagree with most of it because it's an attempt to address all of the world's problems from a Christian perspective. Mm-hmm. Things like capital and labor issues, national sovereignty, people movements, the need for rest by families and so on, / a lowercase undercover, perhaps, Sunday law, but that's another
yes,
thing.
Yes.
But, you know, it was a comprehensive document. This tone was very nice. At the end of it, in nice language, but it said something rather startling. It said these things need to be put into motion, and it said there is a need for a governing authority to put this in motion, an authority with the power to act and to enforce. Well, you know, that's even by secular means, that's a forced language. And the fact that this was given to a head of state who is a little disarmed out of awe of a spiritual leader, not that he's a Catholic, he isn't. I mean, he's certainly not a Muslim either, as many foolish people say. But he doesn't have to be a Catholic to be deferential to a religious leader. You know, if I was visiting with the Dalai Lama, I wouldn't call him His Holiness any more than the Pope, but I certainly would be very respectful. That's the word I'm looking for, because you're dealing with someone who's dedicated themselves to higher spiritual matters. That has some respect. Far more than if you visit the Mafia Don and you know what he's dedicated toward.
Yes.
So I think Obama in this case is probably a little disarmed when he's given such a document, where if Boehner, the head of the opposition, gave him such a thing, or what's the guy that comes up with the budget every year in the U.S., the Republican, he'd probably reject that out of hand, but not from the Pope. So, again, here this is an improper use, I think, of the relationship between church and state, and that's comes with the turf. I don't really know how any pope, even with good intentions, could totally steer clear of the complications, and who am I to say what their intentions are? At times I'm sure they're not good, or at least not good toward freedom.
Don't you think that President Obama realizes this? This is not a dumb man. This is a very smart man. Shouldn't he say, "I'm sorry, Pope Francis, but you know you're crossing the line here. Let's talk about humanitarian things. Let's talk about love and whatnot. But let's not talk politics here." Shouldn't Obama be the one that puts the brakes on any kind of that kind of discussion?
Well, he should, but political leaders are good at political expediency, and this might be a marriage of convenience.
Yeah.
Under a moral guise, something else could be accomplished. That's happened in our lifetimes a number of times.
Yes.
We don't know, but the real point is, and I've written on this in editorials, structurally there's a problem here. Mm-hmm. I don't need to prove that there's something nefarious going on.
Yes.
By its very nature, it's unsettling. And I should say, for those that think they're used to this and it doesn't bother them, it's still a historical novelty in the modern era. That's true. Back in the Middle Ages, the emperors and so on would come to the Pope on occasion. Other occasions, he would send them a missive from abroad, depriving of their kingdom or determining they could resume the seat. He had total power over the heads of state, and there was was it Gregory, one of the emperors, waited several days in the snow outside hoping to see one of the popes. So there was not a good dynamic. But in the modern era, it was only really in the 60s and the 70s that this general deference by world leaders was given to the Pope. And in fact, Ronald Reagan brought it to its present high. And before him, Richard Nixon had some little contact. But before that, it was not even allowed by the U.S. Congress to have diplomatic relations with the Holy See, as it's called. Mm-hmm. And talking about the emperor waiting in the snow, I think most people have forgotten, but during the period when John Paul, of Polish extraction and worried about his communist homeland, quote, conspired in a good way, I guess, with President Reagan to remove communism from Poland. During that period, though, there was a very, very interesting little set piece that was reported in the papers, but people seemed not to have noticed how significant. President Reagan wanted to meet with the Pope at a crucial juncture in their machinations to bring down the state using, of course, solidarity. Mm-hmm. And so Reagan was coming back from Europe, and the Pope was also on one of his world travels. And as Reagan flew back, he stopped in Reykjavik, Iceland, mm-hmm. for I think it was 36 hours, just waiting on the tarmac, because he knew that the Pope would pass through there on his way elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And they met there mm-hmm. just for about an hour or so. But Reagan waited 36 hours for the Pope.
And probably in the snow. You never know about Reykjavik.
You know, there was no structural harm to the Republic, but it did signal an incredible difference that would not have been granted in another era.
All right.
You know, it's true that Stalin made that infamous statement at once. You know, how many regiments or divisions does the Pope have?
Yes.
Well, you know, that's very short-sighted, of course. As non-observant as most Catholics might be, with you know, a billion or so of them around the world, mm-hmm. and many of them having an innate loyalty to their church leadership, yes, the Pope has influence. But you could say that about many other people.
Yes.
Certainly you could say that about some Islamic leaders, mm-hmm. and certainly in whole countries, as in Iran, you know. So I think what we need to do is not, you know, go ape when we see such things, but realize the historical significance, realize that it's an anomalous time that we're living through, and that while it may seem innocuous, at root it contains a very real danger, a hazard for the clear separation of church and state, and worse, perhaps the direct involvement of one religious faction with an agenda that may not benefit all.
Very insightful words. Thank you, Lincoln. And libertymagazine.org is the website. Check it out. You can read the magazine and subscribe to the magazine and learn more about this and other topics. That's all at libertymagazine.org. And until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Lincoln Steed inviting you, listener, to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.